Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up because we're going live on the Fight Mixer Show.
What's up? Welcome, all my bros and hoes in different area codes to the Fight Mixer Show.
Going down.
Starring Mr. Gabe. Gabe, how you doing, brother?
I'm well. Just living the dream.
Beautiful. How you doing, Matt?
Yeah. I'm well. Matt, how are you?
I'm okay. How about you guys?
Why just okay? What's the matter? Who's shitting your turkey today?
Well, I know some people were having issues with children today, but...
Oh,
I will punch a child out. No problem.
I will punch a child right, out. All right. We got Joe Elmore coming on. He will be facing off against Mr. Garcia. Both bare knuckle, bad motherfuckers. They're going to have a huge fight next month. I can't wait to fucking watch it. Two of the bad motherfuckers. I mean, the fight's going to be a masterpiece. I can't wait to watch it. You guys, Unstoppable Force versus Immovable Object. It's going to be a crazy, crazy fight. Gabe is kind of like, you know, bare knuckle, he's not really familiar with, but Mr. Garcia actually fought in the UFC. Do you know about? Yeah.
I'm familiar with Leonard. Yeah. I mean, he's a scrapper. I mean, he is not the most technical, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but he's got a heart and he goes full bore. You know, I think that's something with bare knuckle. I think that should really suit someone like with his style of MMA. You know, just balls to the wall. Let's get in there and sling chingazos, son. And I don't know the other guy, but I'm guessing if he likes to sling, then it will be an entertaining match.
Yeah, Joe throws bombs. So
there you go. Oh, it's the main event, correct?
Yeah, it's gonna be a banger.
That explains why. Yeah.
Fuck yeah! And just to get into recent news, I've been crying all week about this, but fucking. We have a big UFC fight coming up this weekend, of course, with the heavyweight championship. The Israel trying to win his second belt, which I'm sure Dana White is swimming in money and pretty much hoping and banking that Israel wins that fucking fight. But what do you think about that?
I think it's a 205, correct?
Yeah, 205.
And from my understanding, what I was told is that Israel is going to come in about 200 pounds. Which means that Jan will probably be like 230. I mean, there's going to be a huge weight disparity, but I mean, you know, weight is absolutely a factor in a fight. But if Israel can stay on his bike and pick his shots, I think he absolutely can win. I think it's going to be who decides who can dictate the fight. But I will say, in a 5-round fight, when you have a big guy that has been there already and knows how to handle 5 rounds, it's going to be a rough go. But I mean, it's an interesting fight.
But Izzy walks around heavy, right?
I'm sure he's heavy, but he's not 205 heavy.
Right, that's a good point.
Like the thing about the weight classes that, like, if you're a big, let's say you're a big welterweight, you know, like you're 200 plus pounds, you're a small 185er.
Right,
and so on and so forth. So I mean, like, and again, they're saying he's going to walk in at 200 pounds, a little below the weight class. If you're under the weight, that means you didn't cut any weight. And if you cut, you cut very, very little. And the thing is, why would you cut weight if you're going to come in at 200? You know what I mean? Like, if you come in exactly at 205 or 204, then you're fine. And you know, you're still going to feel better than, but I mean, it's definitely an interesting match. And I'd like to see it. And I'll be honest, I don't know very much about the opponent, Jan. I know that he won the title. I don't think I've ever seen one of his fights, and I hate saying that, but it's the truth. I mean, I might have. It's very possible that I did. I'm not sure what he's good at.
Right. And if I'm Dana White, though, and I have bosses who are in a publicly traded company, I have the biggest boner right now, the prospect, that is going to actually be the top marquee guy in two different weight classes. Because Jim, he doesn't really sell tickets. He's not really a ticket mover. Izzy definitely fucking is. So, no matter what, Dana White and the UFC, just like when Chuck Liddell fought Randy Couture, they are banking. They are banking on Izzy winning this fight and becoming a two-division champion because Izzy's just remarkable as fuck. So, and, you know, they rain money if Izzy wins this fight. Rain money.
Yeah, I mean, look. Well, we've seen the – who was remember when Max Holloway went up to 55?
Yep.
And he did not have success there. I'm not saying it's going to be the same thing. You know, running two divisions, especially two big divisions like that, is a difficult task. And there are a lot of guys at 205 who are gangsters. But I commend Israel for wanting to take a real challenge and for getting an opportunity to go out there and do it. I hope he wins. I've watched his career, and I he's one of the guys that I have seen fight. So. I'm not taking anything away from Jan. I'm sure that he's an exceptional athlete. There's no reason he would be a champion if he wasn't. I have seen Israel fight, and I unfortunately haven't seen Jan fight. And that's not taking anything away from Jan. It's just I don't watch very many fights.
Right. And Dana White can also change his name to Tampax, pull some strings, and have John Jones bumped down from heavyweight to light heavyweight and set up that big fucking fight between Izzy and John Jones. So there's plenty of opportunities. All Izzy needs to do is win. And we got – Fucking Joe. What's going on, brother?
What's going on, man?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, brother.
Cool. It's good to see you again, man.
Good seeing you as well. How you gentlemen doing?
Good.
Not too shabby. You got a fight coming up
here pretty soon, huh? Do I now?
You got a fight coming up here pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. 2 weeks, baby. Ready to go.
How do you think it's going to go?
Well, I mean, the same way I've said it's going to go. It's going to be knockout of the night or a fight of the year again. So, I mean, it's a main event that just has got another name tag on it, another fight bonus on it. That's what I want to do every single time.
Fuck yeah, man.
Go ahead.
I was interrupting. I'm sorry.
How do you feel you match up with him?
Me and Leonard got a similar style, man, but I believe my jaw's a little better battle-tested. I've never been dropped in a fight. Like I said, I put a $1,000 bet on it. If y'all got anybody still, every time I've ever said this, still ain't nobody sent me a video. Y'all said that dude slammed me and TKO'd me punches, but that was an early call. I've never been dropped with a punch to the face in my entire life, not training, not in a fight, not a pro fight, an amateur fight, a karate fight. And so that means that my jaw is the difference. And plus, I hit hard as hell, man. And because we're so similar in style, and I feel that my jaw is a little stronger and my power is a little bigger from both sides. I mean, unless he hits me 10 for one, I feel like I'm going to win.
Fair enough. If I can use a scary fucking concept, man, because I see guys and opponents that you've been in the ring with, and they'll hit you with their best Sunday punch. And you just keep marching fucking forward. You know, I think it just rattles people's fucking confidence when they hit you with a fucking cement brick and you're just like, oh, fuck yeah, let's just keep going. And, like, you keep marching forward. You know, there's no quit in you. I see as a, again, unstoppable force, immovable object, and both of you guys can switch places or whatever name, like, belongs to you guys. Like, this is, like, the perfect fight, like a marquee fucking fight. Best main event that they could make.
Well, I mean, that's honestly why I fought it, man, because it's like, if it wasn't such a dangerous person, I wouldn't be excited. And, you know, like me and Julian Lane would be a good matchup. Me and Elvin Brito would be a strange matchup because he's a defensive fighter. He's number two. He's had another fight with Brad Kelly. Him and Brad Kelly are going to be a similar fight to me because I've seen him. He's got a similar style to me. I mean, I got a good matchup with everybody, but anybody in the company right now, considering especially that Leonard Garcia knocked out Julian Lane to become the Latin American champion. In my head, since before I even fought Will Choke, if I came to the BKFC, I wanted Leonard Garcia, and I had to earn my way up to him. So when I knocked out Will Choke, I said, eventually, I want Leonard Garcia right off the bat, you know? And then always with respect, but it was just because I want fight of the night or knockout of the night, and that's what he is, man. Buston's a legend, and I always say I'm a legend killer, but really you can't be a legend unless you beat a legend, you know, like Muhammad Ali, all these guys had guys that I'm not saying he's leaving his legacy to me in any kind of way or anything like that, but like if that's what it is, it's not a bad way to fight, you know. If he loses, then he hasn't lost anything because I'm a killer, and if I lose, I haven't lost anything because he's a fucking legend. So it's just going to be a badass fight.
Yeah, and it's a win-win scenario. I mean, you know, you definitely earn your spot. You definitely earn your place to fight a guy like Mr. Garcia, who's just joining us and getting a nice fucking haircut. What's going on, brother?
Yeah, looks like he's getting tightened up.
I was getting cut up, man, and my barber, he's hurrying up, but he got me done up, so we're good to go, man. I gotta stay pretty. I know I'm not gonna be pretty after the fight, so I gotta try to look right now.
So are you gonna get cut again prior to the match, or is this like the preparation prior to the match, or is this like
no? This is just weekly cuts, man. I always get my hair cut, so. He always cuts.
Joe, how often do you get your haircut?
He's on every one of the places that take a seat barbershop, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I like to. I call it make my wife happy haircuts, and then I got
there
my white haircut.
Man.
I got one more make my wife happy haircut, and then I got one more fight Leonard Garcia look sexy haircut.
All right, I got you. I got that one coming next.
All right. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the haircut battle. It's a man losing his hair.
Look, man, it's not too much hair to cut. I'm about going with the Joe Rogan here soon. You see the bob cap on me.
Oh yeah.
So, Mr. Garcia, so obviously huge fan of yours, especially in your UFC career. Battle-tested, a fucking warrior to the T. Joe Elmore, this up-and-comer, this really tough prospect. He finally earned his spot to fight you of your caliber. Like, what do you think about your opponent, Joe Elmore?
Man, I got a lot of respect for Joe. I think, he's a scary guy, man. He hits hard with both hands, and he can take a shot, man. So it's a scary freaking fight, man. I'll tell you what though, man, it's exciting. And I mean, I don't know how people take this whenever I say this or how it feels, but I got to be scared, you know, to go out there and show people, what I'm capable of, man. And I feel like, like this is one of those fights, man. He makes me go to the gym. He makes me prepare. Just because he's Joe Elmore. So I'm really excited, man. I've been working really hard. Without trying to tell everybody what's going to happen, I mean, you guys know what you're in for, man. It's two guys who always freaking want to knock somebody out, man. Joe's never been knocked out. My last fight, I guess you could call that a knockout. I really don't. You know, I couldn't see out of my eye, and he stopped it. I couldn't continue. You know, it was one of those things. But at the end of the day, I've never been out cold. I've never been asleep, and neither is he. So you guys know what you guys got coming, man. And, to me, the fans win. But for me and Joe, and I personally feel this, I think it's just a win because we get to fight each other, man. We're the two guys that have never said no to anybody. We've never backed down from a fight, and we're ready to go, man. I think he's ready to go. I'm ready to go, and you guys are in for a hell of a night, man. I think it's the best matchup Bare Knuckle could have put together, hands down. I don't think there's any other fight that'll compare. I don't know why the title, if the title's going to be on the line, if it's not. I firmly believe that it should be. But at the end of the day, me and Joe are going to get to fight each other. And that's a prize within itself.
Right. And I think you were both equally entertaining as well. I remember one fight, and the first time I watched you fight, you caught somebody in a guillotine and you were fucking smiling right at the camera. Like, you both were just entertaining fucking characters. I mean, there are a lot of similarities between the two.
Man, you know, I don't know, man. You watch my first WEC fight. I looked up at the camera and I throw him a thumbs up. I just love fighting, man. I don't know how to explain it. I said this to my wife and got in trouble and almost started a fight. I was like, man, in that chaos, and all that craziness when the punches are flying and you're trying to land and the guy's trying to land, that's when I feel alive, you know? And she's like, well, what do you mean that's when you feel alive? And I was like, wait. I don't mean it like I don't feel alive, you know, as a life. But that's an exhilarating moment for me, and that's what makes me want to go into the ring. So if I could bottle that feeling and drink it every now and again, I wouldn't have to fight, but I can't bottle it, so, and I can't find it anywhere. And Joe Elmore's name gives me that feeling just saying it. So, you know, it's one of those things, man. It's going to be, I mean, it's a test of all tests to me. So, you know, here we go.
So you think you can take a Joe Elmore bomb?
I think you know that's the big question, right? I mean that's what we're both gonna go in there to answer. How do I react when he hits me? How does he react when I hit him? March 19th, sure, you guys get to find out.
Yeah, y'all gotta play for that.
Yeah, and talking about you and how you keep marching forward, and anybody can hit you with their best Sunday punch and just keep going forward. You know, Mr. Garcia is the same way. I mean, I've seen fights like Max Holloway, where Max Holloway hit him as hard as humanly possible, and Garcia was in that fight, and he did not quit. There was no quit whatsoever. Like, how when you fight someone,
I think that was a split decision, and I honestly think you won the fight. That was just me, but yeah, I like it, man. Again, like, I hate to use the same comparisons, but we all have a different audience, so I do it, man. It's like, like you were saying, it's exciting. I'm not a bully, all right? People have it wrong. I don't want nobody to ever be scared of me because I'm actually one of the nicest people in the world, but I love fighting. I love adrenaline. There's this thing that comes just – time slows down. I'm ADHD and my mind races all the time. And the only time that things are normal for me is when there's chaos, like a car wreck or jumping out of an airplane or getting swung on by a world champion. I mean, if I go out there and fight an 11-year-old girl, ain't nobody going to be excited. But I go out there and I fight somebody, and like he said, when I say, you say, Mark Garcia, my friends are calling me. Man, I got 70 people coming to Alabama because I'm fighting a legend. You know, they're coming to watch me and they love me, but they're not coming to watch me watch Billy Doe Dunk Dink. You know what I'm saying? Like, who the fuck is Billy Dink? You know what I mean? That ain't going to bring nobody. And I might knock Billy Dink out in 2 seconds. Oh, Joe, he might knock somebody out in 2 seconds again. But I don't want that either, man. I want something that's, well, we got fight of the year with Tom Schoaf. I want another fight of the year. My coach is pissed off at me because he thinks I'm going to be stubborn and square up and bang. And I probably am because I get excited as fuck and I like to fight. But that's what I like. If nobody's cheering, the scariest thing for me was when this pandemic hit and they thought, like, UFC is fighting in a room and nobody listening. It's cool to hear the punches, but I want to hear people scream they hate me or scream I love you or just scream when we hit the floor. That's what, like, that feeling, man, you can't get it nowhere. I mean, like, when I said yes to my wife, I have to say that because I get in trouble just like Leonard did. But, yeah, you get those feelings when your kids are born, when you get hit in the face, when you win a world title, shit like that.
Yeah. Seems like you two guys are definitely respectful for each other, of each other. And it also seems that even though there's respect, it still seems that there's going to be fireworks, which is actually, that's a good thing. It's typically, like, people want there to be this buildup of angst, and you're talking shit, and that's going to build the momentum. I don't know. I feel like two guys that respect each other, that, look, we're going to go in there. We're going to fight. We know we're going to fight. We don't need to talk shit about each other. Let's go in there. Let's see who wins and who loses. Respect that all the way. And that's actually my preference of how fights should be built up.
Listen, man, Conor McGregor lost himself whenever he tried to be such a dickhead, and he was trying to play into all that shit. I'm real as fuck. Excuse my language. I'm sorry. My grandma's going to kill me, man. But I'm real, man. I'm super excitable. I'm super super like to fight. I want to devastate Leonard Garcia. I want to knock him out. He wants to devastate me. I don't have to hate him. I hope he has a beautiful wife and kids and a great life. And without that, there would be no equal fight because he wouldn't be in the gym training and there would be no Ultimate Warrior out there. So how am I going to, you know what I'm saying? If you disrespect my wife and my kids, we ain't got to sign no contract. There's a whole different thing. So I'd prefer not to be angry at you. He who angers you controls you. Defeat your enemies by living well. I say that every day too. And I ain't got to be mad at you. Look, why do you kill somebody? For messing with somebody you love, right? right? So if I love Leonard, maybe that makes me more dangerous, because now I love something, but he's trying to take my number one spot in the world. He's not ranked number one. He is a legend, but I'm ranked number one. He takes my spot if he beats me. So I do have something to fight over. I ain't gonna hate him. I hate what he's trying to take from me. And then when it's over, it's over. Like, if you know, there's nothing, there's it all, the dust settles in the little circle.
What do you think about that, Leo?
Man, I agree with him 100%, man. I just feel like he said, it's the number one spot in the world, you know. It's beyond me. I'm really pushing for this world title to be on the line, because I'm fighting the number one guy. I hold a title, you know, the international title. It just makes sense. But at the end of the day, I'm fighting for that number one spot, and so is he. And he's got it. So I got to go in there, and like he said, I'm trying to take something from him, and he's right. I am trying to take that from him, because I want that just as bad as he does, and he's already got it. So that sets us up. Now, hatred, why would I hate the dude, you know? He's doing his job. He's doing and a great job at it. You know, he's winning fights. He's proven he can go one round. He's proven he can go five rounds with, hands down, one of the best boxers in bare knuckle. So, you know, it's my job to try to get in there and figure it all out. And like I said, man, the story's going to be told March 19th. Me and Joe don't have to talk trash to each other. We don't have to Conor McGregor and sell this and sell that. We're fighters, man. You know, people bought the pay-per-view to see what was going to happen with Paige VanZant. People that buy this fight know what's coming, you know. It's two guys that swing for the fences. We're going to go for it. And, you know, everybody's telling me, be technical, do this, do that. At the end of the day, man, me and Joe are cut from the same cloth, man. We get hit, we want to hit the guy back, and that's the name of the game, man. That's what you guys want to see, and that's what we're going to give you. I mean, I don't care what happens. If I get in there and I test myself against a guy like Joe, the number one spot in the world, what else? I mean, what else is there after that? There's, you know, you've got to, if you want to test yourself and you want to be the best, you have to fight the best. We both understand that, and that's why we're going to go in there and do what we got to do.
Somebody that was watching was actually commenting after this is over, it's going to be a white claw party. Are you going to find Mr. Joe a white claw after this is over, sir?
Do what now?
Hold on. So here's the thing. If White Claw don't hurry up and send me no money, I'm going to forbid everybody from ever saying that name again. I'm never going to drink that shit. I done told him Black Cherry. I'm a little bit more of a hillbilly anyway, so I get that Bud Light Black Cherry. Whoever the F sponsors me, that's what kind of party I'm having afterwards.
Don't want that White Claw money, baby. Don't want that White Claw money.
Yeah, well, it's gluten free. I ain't gonna lie. I might drink it, but I'll just cover it up so nobody can tell.
this is not for a title, or it is for a title? Or are you guys trying to make it should
be? I feel we deserve it, man. How long do you got to sit and be the gatekeeper? It's like the last four times that we've been ranked. I've been number one in the world, number nine. He's the only champion at 165, the Latin American champion. He knocked out Julian Lane, who's number three. Elvin Burrito's been beat. Both of them have been beat by Jim Allers. He fought and only been beat by Palomino. You have five of the best guys in the most high-ranked guys in the company, and you have two of them fighting each other right now.
Yeah.
Of the top five or ten guys, I'm number nine pound for pound in the world on the rankings right now. I believe Hector Lombard's number eight, right? Why am I not fighting for a title? You know, like, why is Leonard not fighting for a title when he's a title holder? I mean, it's not up to me. I'm not a hater either. Just like I got sponsored by Quit Bitching, so I ain't gonna bitch too much. But yeah, man, I ain't bitching the people. I think the people should lobby for it, and we deserve it. But you know, it is what it is.
The title right now is vacant, correct?
It's vacant. Nobody holds it. The diamond belt's open at 165. Me and it would be the very first diamond belt champion under John Sullivan and the BKFC, the Boxing Hall of Fame, and the BKFC title is open at 165. They're both open.
Are they able to make it a title fight at any point, or do they have to announce that at some?
So, from what I understand, they can announce it as a title fight, but it's up to the Bare Knuckle Boxing Association or Bare Knuckle Boxing Hall of Fame, and whoever's on their team to do it. So I mean, that's I don't know exactly how that works, but
so do we need to get like, so do we have to need to get like an army together and yell at Scott?
Yeah, the whole world needs to come in and be like, hey man, if they deserve it and there's a committee, let them vote. Like, let them vote. If they don't think we deserve it, just take the vote. Take the vote. If we don't deserve it, don't give it to us. But so, if we deserve it, then give it to us. If there's anybody else, number one or number two. Yeah, if there's anybody else that's number one or number two, I mean, I guarantee you there's 10 guys that are in the top 10 that will all tell you that we deserve this fight. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's arguing. None of us hate each other. We're all willing to whip each other's ass any day of the week, and they all know that we deserve this fight. There's no doubt in anybody's mind.
I don't think any of them would mind. I know none of them signed the contract to fight me, and none of them called me out. Joe did that. He knows that I'm a title holder. And, you know, at the end of the day, he's got the number one rank, and he's calling out a title holder. I mean, what else do you need to do? I mean, I don't know. I think anything, any other fight other than the top two guys, and it's the top two guys in the division, and they want to fight each other for the number one spot. So just, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. But like I said, the prize to me is I'm fighting the number one guy, and I get to, you know, try to prove to myself where I get to test myself against that. So belt, no belt, doesn't matter, man. I don't really fight for titles, but, you know.
This is for the people's champ. It's a big deal, man. This is for the whole title. I'm gonna make a title. And whoever wins this damn fight gets the title. Let's go say the people's champ, the BMF, BKFC champion. Baddest motherfucker in the BKFC. And whoever wins this fight, we're the baddest motherfucker alive.
And Leonard, spend your entire career in the UFC. And obviously get a long story career in mixed martial arts. Can you imagine, did you ever imagine that making the transition from the UFC, going to bare knuckle fighting, you would get a huge knockout win and you'd be on the cusp of gaining that championship where you're fighting the number one guy? Did you ever imagine this? You would be in this point when you made that transition from UFC to bare knuckle?
It's a storybook, man. You know, it's like you said, it's hard to imagine. And when you sit back and you look at it, God gives you the opportunity, man. It's your job to do the work and make it happen. And I'm doing the work, man, and so is Joe. We're both, you know, both of us are destined to do something great. So, I mean, there you go. You guys have seen it. You guys have seen me for many years. You've seen me fight. I fought for every organization that I fought for. I've been a title contender, every single one of them, you know, from the UFC all the way to Legacy, Ring of Fire, Ultimate Fighting, Unified World. I've had a title in every single one of them, or a title shot. And, you know, I came up short against Mike Brown, but, you know, if had I won that night, I would have been a title holder in every organization I fought for.
And besides the fact that you guys are fighting for the number one spot, how about the pressure going into this? And with pressure, I mean, people are already talking about this fight. Like, when the history books of bare knuckle fucking fighting are written, this is going to be considered one of the best fights. People are hyping this up to the moon. Like, how do you guys deal with the pressure and managing the fans' expectations and making sure this fight meets those expectations?
Both of you guys. We're just going to go in there and be who we are. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in there and be who Leonard Garcia is. You know, I'm a guy that's proven. I'm going to, if I get knocked down, I'm going to keep getting up. And, you know, Like I said, the Jim Ehlers fight, I didn't have an eyeball after that fight. You know, one of my pupils is actually dilated twice the size of the other one for the rest of my life because he punched me directly in the eyeball. I seen two guys at the last fight get scratched in the eye and quit. So you guys know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in there. And like I said, I don't know how hard Joe hits, but I'm going to find out, you know, and that's, you know, that's a scary thing. He don't know how hard I hit. He's going to find out. And, I mean, that's the name of the game. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go in there to test that, to see which one of us is going to do what they say they're going to do. And, I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, you don't have to hype up two guys that are fighters. We're two pit bulls. You put us in the arena together, and one guy's going to come. One of them's going to come in, and one of them is going to go out. And, I mean, that's it. If the time runs out and we still feel like fighting, I'm sure Joe will go to the back with me and we'll get it on again. I mean, it doesn't matter. Joe doesn't care. I don't care. I mean, man, that there is no hype. it is what it is. That's what I'm saying.
Cool, man. The thing for me is, it's like, it's no nerves, because I promise to fight of the night or knockout every night. Look, I literally go back and I can get a promoter to write a list. I've been a main event at a – it says I'm 13-12 online. I'm 24-12 professional. I was 10-0 in Alabama, first off, before I ever got there. But every single fight, I was a main event probably out of the 24 wins that I got, about 20 times. I've got fight of the night or knockout of the night or fight of the year every single fight. So for me, there's no pressure for me to go in here and fight Leonard. There's no accidental way for us to not beat the shit out of each other. So I literally have fun, man. So the more people are hyped up, the more excited they are, the more energy I'm going to feel, and the more fun I'm going to have when we fight. So I don't feel pressure. I love pressure. I hope I'm still learning the dog when it comes up. I hope I'm the best to lose. I don't feel the shit.
I have a question for both of you. You both come from MMA backgrounds, but it seems like bare knuckle is a perfect venue for your styles. Do you miss MMA, or do you feel like bare knuckle, like, this is what I should be doing from day one?
I feel day one. I mean, I like that's my shit. So, like, bare knuckle was made for me.
What about you, Leonard? We lost him?
We lost him.
Yeah, we might have just lost him. God dang. Nope. Shit. So,
all right.
And coming back to you, if you get past Leonard, like, what's your next steps? Like, do you want to – is there anybody in the pipeline that you want to fight? Well, who would be next?
Everybody. So, Reggie Barnett said it the other day. When he said it made sense, he said that is not a champion. He's a belt holder. And that's a champion to me. He's one of my favorite fighters. So it's not my words, it's his. But to be a champion, you have to defend your title that you hold, right? So if I win the title, I want to become a champion. So I want to defend my title and maintain it. And since the beginning of it, in every interview anybody's ever given me, I've said after I get the title and I defend the title, I want to either drop to 55, more than likely up to 75. I don't know if it's going to be Caveman Rickles because he's number one, or what they're going to do with the 175, but I want to unify a title and prove to people I can bump up, I can bump down, I can be 55, I can be 65, I can be 75, I can knock out big guys, little guys, and I can maintain my championship and truly do, like, leave a legacy and do something great and hopefully become one of the faces of BKFC. I don't want to do nothing simple. And after I become a champion, man, they can tell me who the hell they want to fight. There's a bunch of rats and a bunch of kids that aren't even signed calling me out, trying to clout chase and stuff right now. And I try to be super nice, and I love them, and I understand what they're doing. But they need to get off me. They ain't got no money. So I want to fight the biggest names and the best guys in the world to prove that I'm a top-level guy. I don't want to fight these guys that are trying to get a chance. And it's not because I don't want to give them a chance. It's just because I want big fights, man. I don't want somebody to go, like I said, if you're Billy Dink, then you need to get your way up here, and I'll fight everybody for everything.
I think that there's this sense of entitlement. People that are just starting out, or that they're trying, they're aspiring, that the first thing they do is they call out someone that has a name, because they feel like, if I get a fight with the guy with a name, then that gives me a name. But you know what? You got to build yourself. You got your to get to the show. You got to work to get to the show. It's not like you're just immediately.
They try and call you scared, and it's like, no, dude, you're worth like $1,500, and I'm like worth $25,000, $30,000, $40,000 per fight. So I'm not gonna fight you for $1,500, and you're sitting here calling me a pussy in front of my mama online, and I'll see you backstage, motherfucker. For free.
Mike has a question for you.
What was it? They call it the Gordon Ryan now, right? They call it. I'm sorry. Sorry, Grandma.
It's all right. You can handle it.
Mike Cook asked, what do you guys think about the fighters from the UK? What do you think about them, Joe?
I love them, dude. I love everybody, man. Like I said, I ain't got no hate for Paige, whether she wins or loses. If you got 20 million followers and you don't know who the hell I am, everybody that's got a fan, dude, I got people in the middle of the night. Most of my ads, when I went from 4,000 to 9,000 views, came from UK. They hit me up all the time because there's some super fan humans over there. So the UK fighters like Tyler Goodjohn and his panty dancing antics and all his craziness, I don't agree with what he does, but hell, he's a character and I love it, you know, because now his fans are my fans. Same, I let Mark Godbeer come and stay with me when he was supposed to fight. I picked him up from the airport in Atlanta, and I let him stay with me, you know? I mean, his cousin hits me up, his dad hits me up, we laugh. He taught me gypsy. I love it all, dude. It's a big-ass family, so more attention we all get, and the more famous we all get, and the more countries we bring together, the better it is for all of us.
You know what's crazy though? Like when they posted that video, I saw your Instagram followers jump by like 6,000, 7,000. You didn't even have to start an OnlyFans account and you got like 5,000 new viewers. I mean, you're getting a fan base now. And BKFC is getting behind the machine. They put you as the main event. You win this wedding, you're a marquee name. You're right on there. They're investing money in you, man. They're investing attention in you. It's good for the sport.
Yeah, man. Well, and I'm not going to let them down, dude. I really do love this. I'm training hard. Like right now, I'm down here in Miami, man. I'm actually going to see Uli Monster tomorrow. I'm going to go down here. I came down for a music video tonight to shoot. It was a bare knuckle fight in the middle of a burning cane field just to do some extra promos. Down here, I brought my coach, man. So even when I go do stuff, people are like, "Oh, don't be careful when you're down there." I'm like, "Dude, I got my boxing coach living with me until I get done down here from Detroit, living at my house." So we're finna do hand pads as soon as I get off here with y'all. That's why I told y'all I was in a rush. I gotta hurry up and do some hand pads. We got a little bit of planning for my workout tonight. Some other things that we're gonna do. Some strategy. I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, go jog down the beach. My hands coach is gonna be here with me. We'll be working pads, and I'm going to go train with them at the gym. I'm going to go do an event. We're going to train before we leave and go back to Georgia. You know, I mean, I stay busy.
Right. Leonard's back on the show. Leonard, so question and pivot over to you. If you can get past Joe Elmore, what's in the pipeline? Like, who would you want to fight? What's in your in the works for you? I think you're
let me see.
I took you off mute. I got you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, yeah. Sir.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of interesting fights out there, man. I really feel like right now at this very moment, the only guy I'm thinking about is Joe. Like, there's no if I even look a little bit past Joe, you know, I feel like I don't know, you know, I don't want to look past him at all, man. That's the next step for me is Joe Elmore. And you know, after that, I'm sure there's gonna be, you know, I don't know, man. I really don't know. I don't know if there's gonna be guys lined up to fight either one of us after this fight. I think they'll all just kind of see what happens and be like, man, I don't know if I want to get in there with either one of them dudes. You know, that would be optimal, but you know, I don't know, man. You know, guys come in the cage and they talk trash, or they come in the ring and yes, they talk trash, and they do all these different things. Like Joe says, you know, guys trying to make a name off his name. That's why when he called me out and carried that number one ranking, I knew it was real, you know, because I've heard other guys say this, or I've heard him say that. At the end of the day, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing? Like, Joe's just telling you guys what he's doing right now. I know he's getting ready. I know wherever he's at, he's getting ready. Because just like me, wherever I'm at, I'm getting ready. And, yeah, I was at the barbershop, and now I'm at the gym. And, you know, we know, like I said, man, we are who we are for a reason. We got picked for this fight for a reason. And whoever thinks they want to step up there and say something after this fight's over, you know, give me a little bit of time to heal and come with that same energy when it's time.
And at this stage of your career, Joe also alluded to the fact that he wants the money fight, which obviously every fighter wants that big prize money purse. Is that your game plan too with the going further in your career? Big money fights, all that good stuff?
It always reverts back to money, and at the end of the day, absolutely, man, we should be paid for who we are and what we do. So hell yeah, man, the better offer that comes, the better name. You know, I don't know that there's a better name. That's what bothers me right now mentally. Maybe because all I'm thinking about is Joe. So you know, I'm gonna have to let, like I said, the dust is gonna have to settle. We're gonna have to see what happens on March 19th, and then once it clears up, you get a clearer picture of what's gonna happen next, and that's gonna be my answer.
Cool. So final question for Gabe. Gabe, any question for these guys?
Actually, I didn't get a chance to. I had the question. Joe answered it, but Leonard, you had to leave the barbershop. But you come from the MMA background. Now you're in bare knuckle, and bare knuckle absolutely fits your style. You feel like MMA, you go back to, or you feel like, nah, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to be doing.
I'll grapple in a gym, or maybe in a tournament somewhere. There's like a big name guy that wants to test me. But man, if I'm fighting, it's all bare knuckle, man. It doesn't make sense. I used to say it in the back in the UFC. Why the hell are y'all putting gloves on us? It doesn't make any sense. But yeah, bare knuckles where it's at, man. That's what we should have been doing a long time ago.
That's what I thought.
So final thoughts, final words. So starting with Leonard, obviously huge fight next month, main event where it should be. What are your final words to Joe, and what are your final words to the crowd and the audience that are going to be watching this on pay-per-view and watching the stands?
Joe, I mean, I know you're getting ready, man. And like I said, man, this is what we do, man. I love what you do. I love who you are as a person. I enjoy it. Saturday night, man, I know you're going to be, or Friday, March 19th. I know you're going to be ready. I'm going to be ready, man. Let's get it on, man. Let's freaking do it, man.
Fuck yeah. Final thoughts, Joe.
Same, man. You know, I'm gonna pray for both our safety before we go out there, because we're gonna do violent things to each other and entertain the crowd, man. And I hope it goes as far as it can, and our families are happy afterwards, and the fans are happy, and we are just, you know, yeah, it is what it is, man. We're gonna go to battle, and y'all tune in, because it's not a game, it's real. I want number one, and I know he does, and we're both willing to go out there and damn near die for it. That's how we fought our whole careers. There ain't one you can see that we've ever done that, and it sure as hell ain't gonna change right now.
Two of the baddest motherfuckers in the game, going head to head, main event BKFC. Guys, you know, Joe, Leonard, huge fan of yours. Thank you so much for coming back on the show. Joe, thank you for coming on for the second time. Leonard, I hope this is not the last time. You guys are awesome. Thank you very much for coming on the show, guys.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Joe.
All right, Jim. Good skill.
I'm up in Orlando on your way back up to Georgia. Come have a beer, Joe.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man, message me. DM me, dude. We're going to come up. I'm going to make a trip out of it. I'm hanging out with Yuli tomorrow. I might stop up in Crestview. I'll be coming up kind of 75, just hitting a few things on the way back.
Right on, man. I'll see you later.
Later, brother.
Fuck yeah. Cool. Awesome. All right. What do you think, Gabe?
I think I have no doubts that's going to be a fun, exciting match. I can just tell, like, both those guys, you know, I'm not familiar with Joe, and this is just, I probably should spend a little more time watching fights, but you could tell, like, both of them were in it, and both of them are going to come to fight, and it's going to, those guys are going to try to knock each other out. That's, I can guarantee that, and that's what people want to watch. So, yeah, it'll be fun.
And to your point, too, Gabe, Leonard Garcia, I think he's a BJJ brown belt, but, like, his he has very, very slick jiu-jitsu. He's very good on the ground, and making the transition to from mixed martial arts to bare knuckle, very fucking ballsy, man. Like,
when I heard this is what he's going to do, I was thinking this is a perfect avenue for him. You know, this is MMA. He, you know, whether he was a brown belt or not, he didn't use a lot of his jiu-jitsu. He never took anybody down. It was never his idea of doing anything but, like, slinging chingazos, like really putting it down, and that, like, you know, I mean, I think bare knuckle is a perfect avenue for him to do that.
And what I love too about this fight too, and you brought up an excellent point, is this proves that you can sell a big marquee fight not based on, like, talking shit, based on going the Conor McGregor route, you can do good business just by being two skilled, awesome, entertaining, great fighters. You know, that, that's what I most about this fight. This fight builds itself.
What it's about anyways? Isn't that really what it should be about? You're skilled, I'm skilled. We're going to go into a ring, and we're going to figure out who's more skilled when the time comes. And, like, that really should be the end all. Like, really, it's – and I'm going to send news later, by the way. You're welcome. I just recognize that that's what you that's what it says. I just, anyways, I'm a slow starter. Don't mind me. It's going to be a good fight. I think that I can say that that will be a good fight, and I will be right. I will be truthful in saying so.
Awesome.
And I watched Joe and Tom's show fight in September in Daytona. I can't remember which BKFC fight it was, but Tom is incredibly skilled as a boxer, and Joe still took him out. So
I have to watch Joe. I come into the room being the least knowledgeable of this group because I have no idea about anything. Incidentally, though, I do know that the UFC cut Dos Anjos and Overeem. I know that.
What the fuck? What do you think about that one? Overeem broke my heart. That cut killed me. I died a little bit inside when I found out.
Yeah, but you have, like, business wise, it makes sense. Neither one of them has won a marquee fight. Neither one of them is going to be a title contender. Both of them are paid much more than an up and coming heavyweight prospect. So you're paying $500,000, $400,000 for a guy who's probably going to lose and is on a lose streak. And also, I think Overeem is like what, 43, 42. I mean, these are the things. Like the UFC is really smart strategically with the way they do business now. And they understand that you know, look, Overeem was there when they needed him. Same thing with JDS; they're not needed anymore. And as much as a fan, and also as an athlete myself, it bothers me that they were cut. I understand the business model behind it.
And Overeem has been in the game for a while. The first time I saw him was Pride the Best. I think it was Volume 2 or Volume 3 in 2002, where he fought the guy who beat Joseon. If you don't remember Joseon, Joseon was in Awesome Powers and also killed somebody. He was wearing a thong in the ring. I mean, like, crazy.
No. Prior to killing anybody, he kidnapped and raped a woman for like 3 days. And that's what got him in prison. And he killed his bunkmate in prison. Grade A piece of shit, that one. Grade A piece of shit, that one.
Anywho, back on topic. So the guy that Joseon lost to fought Alistair Overeem. And, you know, Overeem, you know, he was training with Golden Glory. He was training with, like, Sammy Schill. His brother, Valanjay Overeem, who also fought. I think so.
Valanjay, I believe.
Yeah. So, and then Dana White's first interaction with Alistair Overeem, because Alistair Overeem had, like, a little hot streak. He fought against Chuck Liddell. And he did fairly well against Chuck Liddell in Chuck Liddell's prime. And I think that's how he landed on Dana White's radar. And, you know, he had so many successes. Finally learned to guillotine, and he just guillotined motherfuckers all day long. Like, when people tried taking him down, which was genius, instead of sprawling, why not just fucking guillotine them? So, like, he nailed guillotine after guillotine. And then went in the UFC, and, you know, they fed Brock Lesnar to Alistair Overeem. When Alistair Overeem was winning the Dream Heavyweight Championship, K-1, all these championships, came into the UFC, Brock Lesnar was on his way out, and they fed Brock Lesnar Alistair. Well, Alistair beat Brock Lesnar, and boom, instant star with Alistair Overeem. But it's so disappointing, Gabe, that Alistair Overeem, for all this work, for all these years of these wars and these epic battles, he never won the championship. And now his career in the UFC is shot. I mean, it's horrible.
Let's go one deeper. Look at a Dan Henderson. He's won titles in every organization. And in my personal opinion, he beat Bisping for the title. Should have gotten the title, but didn't. And look, it doesn't detract from his overall work. It doesn't detract from Alistair being a legend. Obviously you want the belts and you want that, and there's that notoriety that comes with it. But like, look at his who's of who he's fought and who he's beat. The guy's a monster. Like, I honestly, like, whether he has a title or not, like, you cannot look at that guy as not a heavyweight, you know, Hall of Famer.
And Junior Dos Santos, like, especially him getting cut. I mean, he was a former heavyweight champion, and he was a slow burn where he just slowly started to dwindle. Like, after he beat Cain Velasquez, another big stage on the UFC on Fox, very short fight, won that title, and then lost it in a absolute shit kicking in the rematch. And he just slowly started going downhill, and like, him never reaching that pinnacle again for how talented he is. I mean, fucking man, these are two heavyweights, and you wonder what could have been and what went wrong, what happened. Where, you know, two talented guys getting fucking cut, man, and two marquee names. Two guys that were making money.
But the other thing about the UFC is the UFC marquee names are not what they care about. They care about the UFC. They care about – and actually, the more marquee names they get rid of, the more you recognize the branding of the UFC more than you care about the people. Right? So the idea of the UFC – look, there are obviously icons in the sport that are going to proceed through time, but the UFC is the UFC, right? And so they recognize that paying aging fighters, regardless of how maybe you know how talented they are, they understand that it's not going to make as much money as the price tag of an Overeem. They can get 15 up and comers that could potentially become the next Overeem or be the next Derek Lewis or the next, you know, I mean, like I look, I take nothing away from Derek Lewis. He's obviously phenomenal, but skill set wise, I don't think he's a very skilled heavyweight. If you were to put Derek Lewis in boxing, he would not be a good boxer. If you put Derek Lewis in the wrestling room, he would not be a high level wrestling guy, but he's, you know, he talks well, and he throws heat. And so that's someone that you can market, especially, and I have said this multiple times, that the heavyweight division is not a deep division. So, you know, you have, look, both, again, the JDS and Overeem were exceptional in their prime, but they're older. They've had knockouts. They've had losses, which would make them decide where they were going to be. Their price tag is too much, and for the price tag, they could get 10 to 15 brand new people. That, like, look at this new kid from France. Was he from France? He just won.
Yeah.
Zagain, is that his name? I can't think of what. But
big guy, big fucking Jack, scary fucking dude. That guy.
They have Ngannou, and like that, there's this group of guys that are beastly. But the depth in heavyweight's not there. And again, like, what are you're gonna pay? You're gonna pay Overeem or JDS $200,000-$300,000 to potentially get knocked out by a guy that they got for $10,000? Doesn't make sense.
Right, but going back to our original argument, like what we talked about last week. You know, the UFC has always had this problem with the heavyweight division. You know, the depth roster and the depth card for the heavyweight division has always been lackluster one way or another. And like we said in the last episode, Rankator is like, oh, fucking, your champion has no fucking heart. Went up and dollywopped Tim Sylvia. Like, heavyweight's always had this huge problem with not having a large depth card. Why would you cut people, especially in the age of Reebok, where everyone, it's like player one versus player two, where you have all these, you have 3 billion fucking talent in the UFC, and everybody's wearing Reebok, the same thing, there's no personality. You have to sell it on Twitter or on Instagram because you're definitely not going to get it in the UFC cage because they're all wearing the same thing. You know, Alistair hopped over that hurdle, became a marquee name when he beat Brock Lesnar. JDS hopped over that, winning the UFC on Fox, the first fight card on Fox. I mean, you had two guys where you can get behind him, like, you know, that broke through and became marquee names in a land full of fucking Reebok characters, like creative characters. Like, you know, why get rid of them? That's what I don't.
Both of them are coming off of losses.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
As far as their ability to have that market value, that, like, so once you're an aging fighter with a name, you need to be consistent and consistently winning, or especially again, their price tag is way more than everybody else. Look at Alistair's. I think is like his guaranteed purse is $300,000 or $400,000.
Wow.
There aren't very many people in the UFC that are making $300,000 or $400,000 a fight. And he's now lost. He was, I think he's on a 2-fight streak and then lost. So what do you do with him now? You can't rebuild. Like, oh, we're going to get him back to championship status. I will tell you, if Alistair would have won his last fight, he still would have had a contract. Yeah. If JDS would have won his last fight, he would still have a contract. But the reality is they lost those fights. And on top of that, they're aging and they're expensive.
Yeah, right. And Derek Lewis, back on that argument, I was actually playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out on my phone. You remember that game, right? Mike Tyson's Punch-Out?
Right.
So I put in the code and I fought Mike Tyson. What was the scariest part? And when you were playing that game, what was the scariest part? And I promise this alludes to a topic. What was the scary part about playing against Mike Tyson, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out?
Having sweaty balls.
Strikes. Speed. Speed and just ferocity.
You know what was the scariest thing for me playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out? Knowing that one punch could fucking kill you. So that's what I'm alluding to. Derek Lewis and some of these heavyweights don't necessarily have to be the most effective because they're big, scary, in the back of your head. You think, holy shit, with one punch, they can literally put me to sleep. So Derek Lewis is that good. And I realized that. I'm like, huh, good point. Me and Gabe were talking about this. Very scary knowing that with one punch, you know, it's game over. So it's all these guys staying out of the pocket. Let's shoot takedowns from far away. Let's try to jump it in the pocket, like flail your arms with your chin up and like hope for the best. Yeah? Derek Lewis makes you abandon all logic, all game plans. That's scary about Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis is a modern day Mike Tyson's punch out because he's in people's heads. One punch, fucking kill you. Game over, man. And that's what I realized right after we have this topic, by the way, right after we talk about it.
I agree. And I mean, same thing like Ngannou. Like, you know, Ngannou is terrifying because if he hits you, the chances that you go to sleep are very, very real. You know, and having big power is such an asset, especially with a 4-ounce glove. You know, people don't understand that a 4-ounce glove, it's not going to protect your head. It's going to just protect that hand a little bit. You know, you're going to go to sleep the same as if I were to hit you with no glove whatsoever. And they're big, strong dudes. And I take nothing away. And it may have sounded like I was talking poorly about Derek Lewis. That's not the case at all. I mean, once again, you look at his record. You know what I mean? There's nothing that can be taken away from that. As a whole, I just feel that the heavyweight division, you know, you don't have a lot of fighters that can do it all. A lot of guys that can, you know, put together all the pieces.
Sure.
But at heavyweight, all you need is that one piece, right? Sometimes all you need is that one land one. So it's
so, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're reaching that hour, and we're gonna wrap this up like a Christmas present. Gabe, final words, final thoughts. What's on your mind, Mr. Gabe?
First off, people, teach your kids better. Please make sure that you don't have bully kids, that you're taking care of them, making sure that they're disciplined. That should be the first and foremost. But I'm excited to watch the Joe Elmore Leonard Garcia fight. I can just tell that both those guys they're real about what they want to do, and they're going to bring some violence. But once again, make sure that you discipline your children.
Time out, Godzilla. So that status was actually based on a true story. What happened?
What was that?
Gabe, did you beat up a parent? Tell me the truth. Be honest, sir.
One more time.
Did you beat up a parent, Mr.
Gabe? Did I chew out a parent?
Did you beat up a parent?
But I yelled at a 6-year-old.
What the fuck, Gabe? What happened?
A six-year-old. I took my daughter to the local park, and my daughter is 17 months. She is a baby.
Right.
And she was playing in the sandbox, and this little boy grabbed her and pushed her down because she was touching his toys. He's 6. She's a little girl. So of course I go, don't touch her. Don't put your hands on her. And he goes, but she was touching my stuff. And I go, I don't care. She's a baby. Understand that babies don't understand what they're doing. She didn't intentionally take it from you. You don't ever push other kids. And the mom was sitting there on her phone, not paying attention at all. So basically I'm berating her child. And I'm just like, do better. Like all you need to do is if she would have come over and been like, what's going on? If she got mad at me, I'd be like, you're not justified in being mad at me. But your child just pushed a baby. Like, yeah, he's a six-year-old. I deal with six-year-olds all the time. Like, the size is a massive difference. It'd be like if I grabbed him and pushed him, which is just not going to happen. But if mom would have called dad, then who knows what would have happened. So
dad would have gotten
fucked. Kong.
You would have fucked up the six-year-old, fucked up the dad, baddies, bears. You'll be doing fight mixer from a jail cell.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't want to get involved in like that, but I'm a father, and I'm protective of my children above and beyond everything else. And I just, more than anything, it kind of bothered me that the mother didn't even pay attention to it at all. Like, she was just like, she's on her phone, not, you know, her kids hitting babies, which is horrible. So, but yeah, that was my afternoon. Good times.
Good times, man. All right, Matt. Sorry we veered off the topic. Matt, final words, final thoughts. What you got, man?
Drink more Dringer. You can get your coat decoder ring if you drink more Dringer.
Ooh.
No. Really?
If my decoder ring, if the code is drink more Dringer, I'm gonna lose my mind.
Exactly. You know, we'll buy more Dringer. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this wraps up for the Fight Mixer television show. Watch us every Wednesday and Thursday on Roku TV, Apple TV, Amazon TV, and illegal streaming devices. You got another thing to say, Mr. Game? Oh, you're waving goodbye. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, little like Viacom deals. Yeah.
And then he had to hold it too long, so.
All right, boys and girls.
I still figure out the things.
I have no idea. From the Fight Mixer TV, ladies and gentlemen, peace.
Perfect. 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 Thank you.